Why do we have a philosophy out there now that gears church toward the unsaved? And they say, well, you know, we want to reach as many people as possible that we might win them to Christ. But that is not what the Bible teaches. It sounds great. I mean, I have to admit, sounds great. But wait a minute. The Bible tells us to go out and win the lost. He uses the feet to represent preaching the gospel. He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He used the feet because in order to get people saved, you must go out and get them saved, not try to bring them in and invite them in. If you would just tone down your preaching a little bit, if you would just make the music a little bit more like the rock and roll music, they'll feel more comfortable because it'll feel more like the music that they're used to. It'll feel more like the kind of motivational speaking that they're used to, not this kind of hard-edged biblical preaching. And they think, you know what, then you'll reach more people. But you know how you'll really reach more people is by just going out and telling people about the gospel. And you'll notice that when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, they were not geared toward the unsaved. It's always geared toward the saved. Why is that? Because he sent out his disciples two by two. They went out and preached the gospel. They went out and won people to Christ. They went out and baptized the converts. And then they brought the people in already saved. And then Jesus could teach them how to live their lives. I mean, when you have this preaching on the plan of salvation, preaching on the love of Jesus, those are very nutritious things for you to be hearing. But if that's all you're getting, you are severely lacking nutrients that you must have in order to be a healthy Christian. James 1:26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so here we see a positive reference to religion. Now, this movement today always has something negative to say about religion. Oh, I don't have a religion. You know, I have a relationship. But yet the word relationship's never found in the Bible, and the word religion is. Why would this mega church, new evangelical movement downplay religion? Why? Because they don't want to keep themselves unspotted from the world. That's why. That's why they tell you, oh, I hate religion. Because you want to pattern your music after AC/DC, and you want to pattern your music after all the rock and roll and hip hop. Of course you don't want to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You want to have women up there singing on the platform in miniskirts when the Bible says that if you don't have your thighs covered, that you're exposing your nakedness, according to Exodus 28:42. But you're not going to hear that preached. And we're going to reach more people if we don't preach on all the do's and don'ts. Let me tell you something. The Bible is filled with do's and don'ts from Genesis to Revelation. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, keep my suggestions. This movement also seeks not to offend people at all costs. Because, you know, you're not going to maximize attendance by offending people. Because when you offend people, they don't come back. Number one, you got to pattern it after the world. You got to bring in the rock music. You got to bring in the hip hop. That's what they want to hear. You've got to make the message 20 minutes instead of 60 minutes or 70 minutes. You got to bring that down to a 15, 20 minute little sermonette because that's what they want. Something quick. They can just get it over with and get out to the lake. And so this movement seeks not to offend, but the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. You see, the people that are offended by the preaching are usually the people who needed to hear it the most, no matter what the subject. Because if they're offended, that usually means that they're guilty of whatever the sin that's being preached upon. And so if we love God and love His Word, we'll not be offended. When we hear the preaching, we will know it's true and we will know that we should adjust our lives as accordingly. They seek to please man. They don't seek to please God. Galatians 1:10, it says, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? Watch this. For if I yet pleased men, saying if I still pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We're not doing it so that people will look at us and be pleased with us. We're just doing it because it's the right thing to do. They're gearing it toward the unsaved instead of the saved. And by the way, they don't knock doors and go soul winning. When was the last time one of these liberal mega churches came and knocked on your door? What do they do instead? They mail stuff to you. Isn't that right? They mail, well, you know what? So does Burger King. They mail me stuff too. Do they love me? What does Burger King love about me when they send me coupons in the mail? What do they love about me? They love my money. That reminds me of somebody else who mails me stuff all the time. and they don't care what I am. They don't care if I'm Hindu, Buddhist. That's why they're non-denominational. Because they don't care if I'm a Baptist, a Methodist, an Episcopalian, a Catholic. They don't, as long as my money's green, that's all they care about. That's why they say, everybody, come on in, everybody come in. Methodist, and we're not going to try to change you. We're not, if you've been sprinkled, we're not going to try to baptize you. We're not going to try to, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to tell you what's wrong. We're not going to tell you what the doctrine is. Just come on in and worship with us. We want everybody to worship here. And, you know, it's all about getting the money. That's what it's about. Yep. They are teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And it's about making money and getting lots and lots of money coming in. That is the society that we're living in today, and that is why we go out so many and knock doors, and there are so many people who go to church every week, and you ask them, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? And they say, I don't know. I hope so. I'm a pretty good person. Because there's no doctrine, that's why. Because there's no love of God, that's why. Because there's no prayer and Bible reading and soul winning. It's just a big money-making entertainment fest is what it is. And it's wicked. My dad visited a church of a relative of ours, and literally the guy who took the offering was wearing a Hooters t-shirt. But don't judge. Who laughed? That was, you're judging. Who was that?
I didn't.
You're busted. Oh, don't judge. Look, you're coming to church in a Hooters t-shirt. You know what you're saying? I have zero respect for church. I have zero respect for God's house. The Bible says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And you're walking in with a Metallica shirt. You're walking in with a Hooters t-shirt. You're walking in your pajamas, like these people who go to Walmart at 11:30 at night or something. That's how you're showing up to church. And then you think that that's okay. You know what it shows? Utter disdain, utter disrespect, and a total lack of caring is what it shows. That's what it shows. If you disagree with my sermon this morning, you're going to have a really easy time finding another church. Just go to the yellow pages and just find the biggest ad. Better yet, go to your mailbox. It's right between the Burger King ad and the McDonald's ad, okay? You'll find that invitation to that liberal mega church. You know, go ahead, just drive down the freeway, you'll see the billboards, and you can go rock out, and you can hear the plan of salvation one more time, but it's not going to have any doctrine. It's not going to tell you how to be saved biblically. It'll just talk about Jesus dying on the cross, because, you know, we can't offend the people who believe it's by works, or that you can lose it, or that you have to repent of your sins, or that you don't, or that you have to be baptized, or that you don't, or that it's faith alone, or faith plus works. But you know what? You can go, you can rock out, you can roll out of bed in your pajamas, you can show up, you can jam for Jesus, you can juke and jive and gyrate, and then you can get your 15-minute sermon on the love of Christ, and you know what? Starbucks is in the lobby, and it's a discounted price. It's perfect. Or you can come to a real church where we actually read scores of scriptures and learn biblical doctrines and actually care about every aspect of serving God, not just salvation, but also living the life, getting the inside right, and then getting the outside right. Lots of other examples of why America is doomed, but just that one is enough for tonight. Just abortion is enough. You can't just slaughter 3,000 babies every day and God's just not going to judge. God's just not going to. It's just not going to happen, friend. I could be Joel Osteen up here and just tell you, oh, God, God just loves you anyway. Go and kill your kid, and you know what? You're still going to be blessed. God is not mad at you, as Joyce Meyer's book is called. God is not mad at you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. God's just up there. Whether you've been naughty or nice, you get your presents on Christmas morning with God. I mean, that's that. They just want you to think, you know what? God's just up there, and he's just like, oh, you know, whatever. Just bless them, you know, whatever. So what if they murder their children? So what? You know what? That's ridiculous. That's not the God of the Bible. You haven't read the Bible. If you think God's like that, you've never read this book.
The charismatic movement, speaking in tongues. Falling on the floor, the barking like a dog, the chattering in unknown languages and so forth. And, you know, the faith healers, the slapping you on the forehead, the slain in the spirit. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. When those guys come to town, they come with the Christian rock bands too. The charismatic movement today is so popular, and honestly, that's where a lot of this Christian music's coming from. Mm-hmm. And basically, the charismatic movement is one that emphasizes the gifts of the Spirit, except it twists them into this bizarre... Instead of being a miracle in the Bible, of Acts chapter 2, where people spoke a foreign language and people got saved, they come up with this thing called speaking in tongues. Which is a term never used in the Bible. The Bible talks about speaking with other tongues or speaking in an unknown tongue. It never uses the word in the King James Bible, speaking in tongues, one time. Never says that. It talks about speaking with other tongues, talking about speaking a foreign language. But they have this jibber-jabber blabbering that they call speaking in tongues, where basically in the middle of the service, people fall on the ground and they just... And they're just like talking gibberish. And it's weird. And they're not in the driver's seat, my friend. What does this have to do with music? Well, any time I saw speaking in tongues take place, always wild music was playing. It's like when you make popcorn. You're kind of waiting, and it's all kind of heating up, and then all of a sudden there's this one like... And then it's like... And then all of a sudden it's like... And then it's like... And then all of a sudden it's like... You're going along, going along, going along. Somebody pops. and then it's like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then it's like, okay, the next kernel pops. And pretty soon it's like horrible red bucket. Pretty soon it's just all over the room. People are falling on the ground, rolling in the house, and it's scary. It's weird. Is this a new thing?
No.
There's no new thing under the sun. Now here's the thing. So-called speaking in tongues is a facet of religion all over the world. The Native Americans do something similar. Southeast Asia, Africa, speaking in tongues takes place. Let me read something for you. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were what? Confused, confounded. The multitude came together, and they're basically confounded by this. And they say, because that they heard them speak, every man heard them speak in his own what? And every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, according to chapter 1, there were 120 of the disciples in those days. So there are 120 people that are basically preaching the gospel to different people from different nations, and every man is hearing them speak in his own language. Then it says people were confused because they said, well, I'm hearing them speak in my own language. Look at the next verse, verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own what? Tongue. So first they said, we hear every man in our own language. Now they're saying, we hear every man in our own tongue. Yeah, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, does this look like gibberish to you? Does this look like somebody having a seizure? Is this somebody talking in a babble that people don't understand? No, this is people speaking legitimate, bona fide languages. Not a made-up language, not a heavenly language, not an angelic language. So these people heard the gospel in their own language. This has nothing to do with the bogus Pentecostal movement today of tongue speaking.
There's not enough provoking going on. The sermon has ceased to become an ox goad, and it's become like one of those wooden hands that's a back scratcher. You know, and then the people in the pew are like, oh, little lower, to the left, left, oh, you just missed it, yeah, perfect, perfect, oh, pastor, what a great sermon, oh, it feels so good. You know, it ought to be like, oh, man, what in the world? Oh, man, I guess I better, oh, wow, I need to wake up. Wow, I need to go do something. That's what it ought to be. We need a swift kick in the pants today. Because God is saying, wake up, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. You have a name that you live and you're dead. And he's saying, get up and do something. That's the kind of preaching we need today that will motivate us to get out there into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that God's house may be filled. You know, all these fundamental Baptist churches are so liberal. They're just pretty much trying to be like the big liberal churches. We might as well just go to the big liberal church because that's where all our friends go. And that's where they have all the fun programs and all the fancy stuff. Because look, let's face it. The big liberal fun centers of our day do have a lot to draw people in. They draw people in with the bells and whistles and the lights and the cameras and the wonderful things that they have going on. But we know that the doctrine's not there. You know, we know that the soul winning's not there. And it's all just a big show and whatever. I call them fun centers. And it's sort of like a McDonald's play place. Do you want to go to a restaurant where the food is organic, nutritious, healthy, skillfully prepared food, but there's no playground? Or do you want to go to McDonald's because there's a playground? You know, do you want to go to Round Table Pizza, you know, where the pizza is really good? Or, you know, are you going to go to Chuck E. Cheese because they have a playground? You know, they have the plastic balls you can swim around in and everything. And that's the way these churches are. They're a spiritual Chuck E. Cheese. They're a Chuck E. Cheese Baptist. You know, and they're a McDonald's play place. And you get a toy with your Happy Meal. You know, and that's what it's a spiritual Happy Meal. You know, I mean, Pastor Ronald McDonald Olstein is going to get up and preach and give you a toy in your Happy Meal. It's going to make you happy and feel good. Here's your McNugget. You know, and yeah, there are traces of real meat in the McNugget. Just like there will be traces of real, you know, Bible preaching or the Word of God in the sermon down at Fun Center Baptist. They take the chicken, they take off the breast and the thighs and all that which people want to eat. And then all the leftover junk, they steam it off the bone with all the skin and all the organs and whatever. You know, and they grind it up into paste and they add a little bit of plastic and glue and, you know, other weird things. And then they put it all together. That, you know, that's what the fast food industry is serving. They don't even realize that the food is not up to snuff because they're just looking at the play place. That a real church and the real Word of God are going to nail down doctrine for us, whereas the fun center doesn't want to talk too much about doctrine because doctrine tends to divide people. Right. And their goal is to bring in all kinds of we're non-denominational because we want to bring in all denominations and we're seeker sensitive. You're pathetic. Yeah, I want unity too around God's Word. In a local church, we need pastoral whack-a-mole. We need Whack-a-Mole Baptist Church, where the pastor, he sees things starting to loosen up. He say, oh, Yeshua, bam! You know, maybe Jesus didn't die for everybody. Bam, shut that Calvinism up! Amen. Died for everybody! You know, it's like, oh, well, maybe the New King James isn't that bad. Bam! You know, oh, well, let's have a woman get up and preach. Bam! Well, maybe it is pre-trib. Foolish people hate the nail preaching. Why? Because it's just too heavy. Yep. Too doctrinal. How is this relevant? I need something relevant to my life. You need a kick in the pants, and then you need to be nailed down on things. Look, there's nothing in the Bible that's not relevant. And get a fork and a knife and get the strong meat of the Word sometimes. Amen. And not just be a baby all the time. They hate the goad sermon because it makes them uncomfortable. And it wakes them up too, and they're trying to get a good nap. You know, whereas a wise person wants to hear God's Word and they're going to seek it out and hunger and thirst for God's Word and desire it. We need to seek after preaching that's wisdom and that's deep and that's biblical and that's the words of Jesus Christ. Not be lured into a fun center.
I was reading my Bible this week. And I kept seeing this phrase jump out at me in the Bible. And you're not going to like this, but you haven't liked the sermon up till now, so why would I try and please you now? And I kept seeing this phrase, and I studied this phrase in the Bible. It's used 6 times, and it's used by God. It's used out of the mouth of God. Him that pisseth against the wall. These are God's pure words, and I'm going to preach what it says. The words of Jesus Christ are wholesome words. And the Bible says every word of God is pure. And you say, oh, I can't believe you speak that way, that's vile. What did God mean by that? Obviously, what is he talking about? All the man.
These signs are in Germany by the millions. A sign prohibiting a man from pissing standing up. Seriously.
It's no pee standing up.
No, that's kind of a crude joke. He said, that's not a joke. You'd sit down like a girl and go to the bathroom. Because that's what the sign tells you to do.
No man in Germany pee standing up. See, why are you preaching this? Because it's in the Bible.
Because of the fact that there's a difference between men and women. Men piss against the wall and women don't.
The New King James eliminates it. This is what the New King James says. Males. And you know, the guys who made it, they are males. They're not men. We got pastors who pee sitting down. We got the President of the United States probably pee sitting down. We got a bunch of preachers. We got a bunch of leaders who don't stand up and piss against the wall like a man. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what's wrong with America. And if you don't like that term, piss against the wall, then you know what? Go to the bookstore this afternoon and buy a New King James. It'll take out that word. It'll take out the word damnation. It'll take out the word hell about half the times. It'll take out the word Jehovah, the name of God. It'll take out anything in the Bible that has any power to it. It'll take out anything that tells you how things are supposed to be. But you know what? 400 years ago, pastors used to stand up and preach that a man needs to be a man. It's because the editors of the NIV pee sitting down. It's because the editors of the New King James, they all pee sitting down.
I remember when the Backstreet Boys first came out, boy bands came on the scene, and that was the new sound. He said, the world's all excited about this new style of music, but he said, it's really not new, because he said, it's just Christian rock. And that's why this Christian contemporary music has got to be one of the most effeminate styles of music there is. And he said, if you listen to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, it's exactly what Christian rock was doing several years ago. Not the type of music that's in the Book of Psalms. And sometimes they'll even take the Psalms and take part of it and put it to music, but they never do the whole Psalm, and they never do anything negative. Well, Pastor Anderson, how can you preach against a certain singing style? First of all, three times in the Bible tells us to sing loud. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise. Nowhere in the Bible do you see people admonished to sing quietly. When you see a microphone, what a microphone allows you to do, though, it allows you to be very, very soft and still be heard. Nothing wrong with a microphone used to amplify instruments or amplify singing. What a microphone allows you to do is to sing very softly, like you're whispering in someone's ear. What they've allowed people to do is turn the volume way up and turn the volume of their voice way down. The bedroom voice. And look, this is real, friends. They use a voice that's the type of voice that would be used between husband and wife in the bedroom. Whisper in your ear, close your eyes. I mean, we've all seen it, right? Close your eyes, whisper into the microphone like they're talking to their love. And literally, this is what you hear. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire.
My heart's one desire.
Right. It's exactly what it sounds like. Right? Basically, it's this crooning love ballad style, bedroom style. And they're not making melody to the Lord with that. There's sin in their heart, and you know it. There's sensuality. You say, where do you get this sensuality? Well, did you memorize James chapter 3? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And it's flirtatious. It's an audible getting in your comfort zone, whispering in your ear type of a singing. If you have a microphone, you wouldn't even be able to do that weak kind of singing. Obviously, women are not in danger of being effeminate, but let me tell you something. Women should sing with a loud voice too. Why? Because they ought not sing with a seductive, sensual bedroom voice either. Everybody needs to sing with a loud voice.